Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
You promote a party, you schedule a time for the party, and then you dangle in front of the potential attendees what a delectable delight this party is going to be, and then you, as the scheduler of the party, refuse to show up the night that the event is going to be held. What am I talking about? Well, friends, I'm using that as a little bit of an analogy of what is taking place in our nation's capital with respect to this supposed Russian hacking of our November 8 elections. Friends, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but last evening there was going to be, today was going to be the date of the briefing, but last evening the intel briefing before the House Intel Committee had to be canceled because the CIA refused to show up to a party, so to speak, that they have been promoting. They are the ones that brought up the fact that Russia has hacked our electoral process, and they're the ones that have been making this case. And then when the Intel Committee says, all right, send us someone that we can question with respect to that, the CIA and some of the other Intel community refuses to play and to send someone to brief the House Intel Committee. So what in the world is going on about all of that? We're going to jump into that in segment one. In segment two and in segment three, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Russian supposed interference, as well as something with respect to the Electoral College, friends, that you have not heard about. And we're going to be delving into that. Boy, fascinating, fascinating stuff. And our special guest today that's going to share all that with us in segment three is attorney David New. And so, David, I want to welcome you to the program here in segment one. Thank you so much for being with us. And Gary, good to have you aboard. Sam Rohr is away today, but it'll be the three of us. And guys, I want to jump into this situation. And David, I want to go to you right out of the box here and ask you a question with respect to this refusal on the part of the CIA to send a briefer, they are calling him, someone to brief the Intel Committee. They refused to do that. So, number one, why would they refuse to do that? Number two, can they refuse to do that without there being legal consequences for refusing to show up to a briefing of that nature?
Well, Congress has the power to subpoena, and what happened here is that they requested somebody to appear, which means if you request somebody, they can turn it down, which is exactly what happened, and that's a bad thing. But they could subpoena somebody to come to represent the CIA.
Now, if they subpoena, David, and again, this has happened within the last several years within the Obama administration, Congress subpoenas your people to show up and they refuse to show up. What is the legal consequence of someone who has issued an official subpoena by Congress and they refuse to show up for that meeting?
It's a contempt of Congress. It's just like a court. If the court subpoenas you and you don't show up, they can come after you. They can charge you with contempt of Congress, and there's all kinds of punitive actions that Congress can take.
Would they be able to show up and yet claim the Fifth Amendment on that, David, if they did show up?
Oh, you can always claim the Fifth Amendment before Congress, for sure. The only time that you may not have Fifth Amendment rights is when you go into a grand jury. There are certain cases where they can, you know, offer you immunity, and then you cannot plead the Fifth there. But you can plead the Fifth Amendment before Congress, for sure, and lots of smart people have.
Yeah, and lots of smart people have in order to cover their tracks. But this is what I was wondering, that even in the event where you would have an agency like this subpoenaed, you know, not just an individual, but an agency, would they, as an agency, be able to plead the Fifth Amendment?
I don't know how they would. That wouldn't make a lot of sense to say that I plead the Fifth on whether or not I got a subpoena to appear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that would make a lot of sense to even do something like that.
Well, gentlemen, one of the things that those within the intel community, or excuse me, the CIA specifically, what they're saying is their reason for refusing to appear to, you know, before this House Intel Committee. And again, David, you made the point that they were requested, not at this point subpoenaed. But the reason they refused to send a briefer to the intel committee was because they said that they are trying to comply with President Obama's review that he ordered of this entire supposed Russian hacking of the election. Obama said he wants a full review of that completed by Inauguration Day. The CIA says we're trying to comply with that. So hence, we are not going to show up at this event because all of our focus and our attention is on that. Now, let me ask you, David, is that legit?
He could, yeah, I mean, this can be a delaying tactic where they go back and forth like this. So if he wants some time, he can pull a stunt like this. But I'll tell you, the real target for this whole business about Russian hacking, Electoral College, a lot of this, there are two primary targets. It's not to fix it to where Donald Trump does not become president. The real target is the fact that we're three states short of having an official constitutional convention convened. And the Democrats are bringing all of this up about the Russian hacking. They're bringing all of this up about the popular vote and screaming how Trump is not legit to build political support if they can get those three states on board to agree to a constitutional convention, number one, and number two, so that they can get an amendment into the Constitution so that the Electoral College will die and the popular vote will win every time. That's the real target, in my opinion.
So you believe they're thinking, just like with the recount, you know, John Podesta and the Clinton campaign called for a recount.
It's a big stunt to get three more states to have that constitutional convention. It's all a political stunt to build popular support because they're going around, and the number is astounding. There's no question about it. Hillary Clinton's numbers on the popular side are really amazing. That she's gotten over almost 3 million. She's almost 3 million ahead. And it is quite something. I think actually she is over 3 million.
Yeah, I think she's a little over 3 million ahead.
Yeah, she's over 3 million, almost 3.5 million.
But to a broader...
The numbers as I've got as of December 10th.
To a broader perspective, David, and we're just running out of time quickly here in this segment, but do you think that this idea of having a constitutional convention and everything that's being built up here that we're talking about today... is, in the broader perspective, the concept that the liberals, the Democrats, et cetera, do not like our Constitution and they want to completely see it reworked, rewritten, redone?
Usually the fix is in before the convention even occurs. And I think that the conservatives are coming to this late and they may be able to get it. And if the liberals have that convention, they can start agreeing to propose amendments that do all kinds of things, and some of these things that they may do, we conservatives may not like.
David, has there ever been such a constitutional convention other than the one that was conducted in 1787?
No.
So this would be historic.
No, and you know the interesting thing about that, I'll go into it in the next segment.
You bet. Well, friends, you're listening to our special guest, David New. We're talking about all that is going on with the intel community and the supposed Russian hacking of our November 8 elections. And friend, when we come back from the break, there is some amazing things going on coming out of the Clinton campaign. They're pouring additional fuel on the fire with respect to the Russian hacking. What is all of that about? What is ultimately going to be the outcome of all of this? And what about a Cal America, as our special guest David New calls it? That's coming up in segment three. Don't miss any of it right after the break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Newly independent, the 13 American states were suspicious that their new government may become too powerful, as King George's was. They insisted that limits be placed on the power of the federal government. We call these the first 10 amendments or Bill of Rights, and they were ratified this day, December 15, 1791. The First Amendment states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today, right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, yesterday and the day before, we mentioned to you an opportunity that you have to participate with us here at the American Pastors Network with respect to some upgrading that we very desperately need to do with our radio ministry. We need a studio upgrade that's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $30,000. We've had a very generous donor come aboard to say he will match anything up to $15,000. So if we can raise that amount of money, he will match it and give us what we need for that $30,000 upgrade to our studio. And what we're offering for anyone that is a listener to this program and wants to donate any amount, there is an awesome CD of a message that Sam preached. Actually, Gary, at your church there in Altoona, at one of the recent conferences you held there, talk a little bit about the message that will be available to anyone that donates any monetary amount toward this project.
Well, it's a message entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation, Dave, and Sam gave a number of points in that particular message on what it would take to get America back to where God would be able to bless this nation. And it was an excellent message. It's a message that anybody and everybody could benefit from, particularly pastors. And, you know, it's worth it's worth a gift of $1,000, I suppose. But even a gift of $5 would bring this into a person's possession.
And then, friends, if you give an amount exceeding $250, not only will you get the CD, but there's also another very special gift that APN has put together for you as a gift for your donation in excess of $250. Gary, it's this Founders Bible, and I believe you actually have one right there in your studio in front of you. And I'd love for you just to share a little bit about how incredible this particular volume is. It is absolutely one of the best things out there. So, Gary, talk just a little bit and share a little bit with our audience about that.
Well, I'm holding it up here at the microphone so you can all clearly see it. But it is a Bible that's put together by David Barton, you know, the signature historian of America. And obviously, it's got the text of Scripture, but it is loaded. It is filled with other historical elements that show us where we've come from in this nation. For instance, I have before me one large article entitled Escape from Tyranny. It talks about the pilgrims, Puritans, and persecution. I have another article in front of me that talks about America's political form of government based upon Exodus 18:21, why it is that the form of government we have is biblically based. Taken from the book of Deuteronomy, there is an article on the source of American exceptionalism. And it just goes on and on and on. Taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 9, there's an article on the reality of the natural-born president, and it just goes on and on, Dave. There's a wealth of material here. Not only is it the Word of God, but there's a lot of historical significance there as it relates to the founders' thinking concerning our nation and what the United States of America is all about. A great, great Bible. It's about 2 inches thick.
2,300 pages, friends, of not only the text of Scripture, but also a combination history book as well. So you can get inside the head of the founders, understand what motivated them. And Gary, one of the most important parts of that volume is the fact that it includes what the founders were thinking with respect to the Word of God and what Amen. Role the Bible should play in the not only the founding of the United States of America, but the future history of the United States of America. Friend, it is the greatest volume out there, combination Bible history book combined. There are others that are out there, but this is absolutely the best. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I want you to understand if you give any gift in excess of $250 toward this project, then that Bible and that CD of that incredible message by Sam will be the gift that we will send to you. And in order for you to make your donation, you can just visit simply our radio website, standinthegapradio.com, and right there on the home page, you can see how you can donate toward this ministry and toward this specific project. And we would greatly, greatly appreciate it if you would be willing to do so. Well, gentlemen, I want to shift gears. Probably most of the American people that's paying any attention at all understand that there is a growing campaign of fuel being poured on the fire daily by John Podesta and others that are part of the Clinton camp with respect to this supposed Russian hacking of our elections. And again, friends, please understand, when we talk about Russian hacking, we're not talking about manipulation of voting machines. We're not talking about the thievery of ballots or the manipulation of ballots. We're not talking about any of that. What Hillary Clinton and her team, what those on the left are so upset about is the fact that WikiLeaks released all of these emails, this email information, from John Podesta, communication to Hillary, Hillary in communication to Podesta and other people. All of this information came out just prior to the elections. And of course, the claim is that Julian Assange at WikiLeaks has denied, and others are denying, they're claiming, those on the left and the Clinton people, that Russia is the one that was involved in getting that information out there. And they're saying it was wrong for that to influence the elections negatively for Hillary Clinton. Now, friends, here's the deal. 55 of the members of the Electoral College, mostly Democratic electors of the Electoral College, have now signed an open letter to Director of National Intelligence James Clapper saying the following, quote, "We require a briefing on all investigative findings as these matters directly impact the core factors in our deliberations of whether Mr. Trump is fit to serve as president of the United States." Gary, that is an amazing statement.
Well,
number one, we require a briefing. None of these people, Gary, have security clearance for the kind of briefing that they're requesting or that they're requiring. And then number two, this statement about whether Trump is fit to serve as president, I thought what they were interested in is finding out whether Russia was involved in the quote-unquote hacking. But see, their motivation came through. They don't believe Trump should be president. So this really has nothing to do with his fitness to be president. I mean, Gary, is this as infuriating to you as it is to me?
Well, it is. And you think too much like me, because I was going to say that that particular statement that you read there, we further require a briefing on all investigative findings, et cetera, to determine whether Mr. Trump is fit to serve as the president. You know, that is their motive. They do not like the fact that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States of America. And they want to do everything they can to either hold off that vote to the electorate coming up this Monday or create doubt into the hearts and the minds of people. Dave, I think it was brought out yesterday that of the 538 electorate voters, I think only five of them, if I understand, have any kind of security clearance. So they would not be able to receive this any information that the CIA or any other intelligence agency would be able to give to them anyway. It's a farce. It's an absurd request. I don't know where it's going to go, but I don't think it's going to have any outcome on the current election.
David Duke, I want to go to you. We were talking earlier about things related to this and how this is really unprecedented in U.S. history. But the one that is leading the charge, calling for this quote-unquote intelligence briefing being given to the Electoral College members, the one leading the charge on that is Christine Pelosi. She's the daughter of House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi. And David, I would love to get your take on this. You are a constitutional attorney. You are a historian. You know this kind of situation inside and out. What are your thoughts as you observe this circus that has become this Democratic push for an intel briefing being given to Electoral College members?
Well, you've got 62 million Americans who voted for Hillary, for her, and you've got around 61 million Americans who voted for him. And this little period between the election of November 8th and January 20th, I have decided to call this little period the estrogen wars. And this whole thing is just crazy.
Only you.
But a real target also that's going on. By the way, I gave the wrong number. The popular vote difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump was not over 3.5 million. That was in the state of California. On the nationwide basis, it was 1.3 million. So it wasn't quite, I read the wrong number. So it's 1.3 million is the difference on a vote. Another reason why they're doing this, again, for these Electoral College people doing this, is that they want the states to pass. And this is what you want to write down, ladies and gentlemen, so you can go to your computer. It's the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. That is a real target for what is going on here. This is behind the scenes. This is something that several states, about 10 of them, have already signed on to. We're going to talk more about it in the next segment. But that is the real one of the targets that they want. The liberal Democrats want this thing to be passed. And it doesn't require Congress, the states do it. Again, the title is the National Popular Vote Interstate, as in INTERSTATE, Compact, COMPACT. One of the things that I heard this week that was fascinating is that if you take out California, they're trying to undermine the credibility of this election. If you take out California, Donald Trump wins the popular vote. And I heard that, and I looked at the numbers, and I checked them out, and that is absolutely true. If you deduct all the votes Hillary Clinton got in California, you deduct all the votes that Donald Trump got in California, she got 7.3 million, he got 3.9 million. If you take those out, she ends up with around 55 million, and he ends up with 57 million. So nationwide, except for California, Trump won the popular vote.
Well, friends, that is why our special guest, David New, is asking this question. Are we headed for what he calls Cal America? And it has to do with this entity, this attempt that he just shared with you called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. What is that all about? Friends, you have not heard any of this mentioned on any major media outlet. But we're going to break the story right here on Stand in the Gap today. When we come back from this brief timeout, please don't miss it.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
News Radio. I'm Pam Puso. FBI Director James Comey is being called a partisan by the outgoing Senate Minority Leader. Harry Reid also is saying that Comey should become the new head of the Republican National Committee.
I think that it's about time that Comey acknowledged publicly what a disservice he's rendered to our country.
The criticism comes as intelligence officials stay quiet about allegations of Russian meddling in the election. Republicans are angry that a briefing with the CIA was canceled. With a ceasefire holding in Syria's largest city, Russia's military says more than 1,000 people have been evacuated.
Aleppo, once the heart of Syria's opposition, is now firmly in the hands of the Assad regime after Syrian troops backed by Russian airstrikes launched a brutal campaign to retake the city.
Fox's Connor Powell, rebels who remain are also being evacuated. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180,
shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Our communications team here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, headed by Director Dan Bartkowiak, has been doing some great work in getting the word out about pro-life and pro-family issues. One most recent example is his work exposing Planned Parenthood and what they do with your tax dollars. In a post on our Facebook page is a video Dan put together showing how Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood got a 15% raise from taxpayers last year and yet has closed five facilities, is providing thousands fewer cancer screenings and STD tests, and yet performed 600 more abortions than in the previous year. They do more than half the abortions in Pennsylvania every year. You would benefit from seeing our great communications, and here's how. First, like our Pennsylvania Family Institute and Council Facebook page, and second, sign up for our e-alert email service at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull, and our special guest today is David New, Attorney David New. David, I want us to talk a little bit about why you are asking the question, are we headed for what you call Cal America? It has to do with this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact that is been proposed, and actually, David is out there in a big way without any other media outlet talking about this. Before we go into what that popular vote compact is, please explain to our listening audience again, very, very simply, why we are not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic, and how as part of a constitutional republic, our founders brilliantly put in place the Electoral College to prevent certain things from happening if we were a pure democracy, and then our elections operated based solely on popular vote. Explain what they were trying to protect our country and our states from.
What they wanted to do with the Electoral College was to make sure that the president would not be a regional candidate, that he would truly or she would truly have to be a national president that represents the whole nation. In a popular vote, as we just discussed a moment ago, in this election cycle, we had 112 million votes, and 62 million went for Clinton, and around 61 million went for Donald Trump. But if you take out California, Donald Trump actually wins the national popular vote by over 2 million people. I was shocked to find that out. I heard that from a commentator that did that. And he was absolutely right. You don't need to worry about the third-party candidates because those numbers stay constant. But then I went back and I checked for 2000 because 2000 was the fourth time in American history where the candidate who won the popular vote did not get the Electoral College. And that of course, is Bush v. Gore. There, the total vote was around 110 million people. Now, in that situation, Bush got 50.4 million and Gore got 50.9 million. That means Gore was over Bush by around $540,000. 540,000 votes. Okay, cut that out. Cut that out, everybody. He was ahead by 540,000 votes. Now, if you do the same thing, if you cut out California, guess who wins the popular vote? Now George Bush wins it. That's what will happen if we go to a straight popular vote. You'll need to change the name of this country from America to Cal-America because that state is so large, it will pull it. If you take out California's votes in the 2000 election, Bush wins the popular vote by 750,000 votes.
So in other words, David, our founders had what we believe is the God-given wisdom at that early stage. They had the God-given wisdom to understand if you're going to elect a president and he's going to be representative of the entirety of the United States, he cannot just run on the East Coast of the United States, run on the West Coast of the United States, rack up all the popular votes because those are the heavily populated areas of the country, ignore the midsection of the country. So to prevent that from happening, they instituted this sheerly brilliant, brilliant thing called the Electoral College. Okay.
Now, here's the way to undercut that. Here's the way to undercut that. It's called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. 10 states have already signed on to it: California, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington State. And here's how it works. These states legally have agreed that whoever wins the popular vote, regardless of how their individual state goes, that individual will get the Electoral College vote. So, for example, take for example, right now, Pennsylvania went for Donald Trump. Michigan went for Donald Trump. This now is in your legislative process right now to do this. Trump won the popular vote in Michigan, and he won the popular vote in Pennsylvania. But on the next election, that may not be true. He may not get the Electoral College votes because if Pennsylvania and Michigan sign off, along with California and New York, to this program, it will mean that even though Trump wins the popular vote in Pennsylvania, all the Electoral College votes will go to the other side.
Because what you're saying, David, is...
It does not kick in. This compact does not take legal effect until they get enough states to reach the magic number of 270.
70,
yeah. Right now, they've got 165 Electoral College votes by the number of states that have signed on to it. But they got to get up to 270. That means whenever those states, doesn't matter what any state does, from this point forward, if they can get 270, those states that are in that compact, whichever way the popular vote goes, that's the way the Electoral College will go. So next time, ladies and gentlemen, that means, say for example, Trump wins again, hypothetically, and he wins the popular vote in Pennsylvania, it won't matter next time whether he wins the popular vote in Pennsylvania or not. The Electoral College votes in Pennsylvania will go for the Democrat. And it can work the other way around. So, if you get a Hollywood-style Republican that like Ronald Reagan, who's very popular, and you want your Pennsylvania state to vote Democrat, but if that Hollywood star from California, that Republican conservative, wins the popular vote, you Democrats in Pennsylvania will lose. All of those Electoral College votes will go towards that other person.
David, let me
make sure that... You understand how it works?
Well, let me make sure that people understand. What you're saying is a particular state's popular vote would yield to the national popular vote count. So
yes.
The ultimate
yes.
national popular vote, if let's say it went to Hillary, she won the popular vote this last time. So the individual states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, whatever, who Donald Trump won the popular vote, if they sign on to this compact called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, they would yield their delegates to Hillary Clinton because she won the national popular vote. So individual state popular vote does not matter. Only the national popular vote would matter for those states who signed on to this.
Exactly.
And I think it's clear to emphasize, David, if I have understand this right, that this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact would not affect the current election, what we're going through.
Oh, no.
It does not kick in
until they hit the magic number of 270. Right now, they've got 165 of all the states who signed on to by their state legislatures.
Right. Well, let me back
up. They've got 165. And they're about, I think they're like 60. They've got 30% of what they need. They need another 70%. Around there to get up to 270. So that's where they're at.
Well, let me back up here to where I was going with this, because I want to try to bring it to where we are right now, because we've got this controversy going on in Washington, D.C., where, you know, there are some who are trying to get the electorates to actually change their votes and so forth and change their commitment. Now, there would be those who would do everything they can over the weekend to try to keep Donald Trump out of the White House and to try to get the electorates to change their votes. But where does the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court come into all of this? In other words, is it true that if they would get 37, 38, 39 electorates to say, we're going to go from Trump to Hillary, would it still not go back to the House of Representatives, where the House of Representatives would make the decision on who the next president is? And or would the Supreme Court also be involved in that entire movement?
It should go to the House of Representatives. And here again, ladies and gentlemen, what I said before, they're 30% on the way there. No, they're actually 61% of what they need right now. If you take 165 divided by 270, that means they've got 61% of the number of states they need to get there. What should happen is if Trump doesn't get it and it comes out to a tie somehow, it should go to the House. But if they all switch over to Hillary's side, then actually she becomes the president.
But that is that, well, I guess it's legal. Although
yes.
there are some states where the electorate, the Electoral College
where
is
they're
bound.
Required. Yes, there are some states where they are required on the first ballot, for example, to vote for whoever sent them there. That is absolutely correct. But not all states have that. Some states have a penalty. But this whole business of these 50 Electoral College people, what they're trying to do, the real target is not to make Hillary Clinton president, in my opinion. I mean, I suppose it's possible. The real target is to undermine it, to get the Constitutional Convention going, and to get this national. By the way, all this came out during the last week when Congress conducted a hearing on the Electoral College, headed by Representative John Conyers, Democrat of Michigan. And he talked, and they talked. They had four law professors come on and give expert testimony, and they discussed the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact and why they support it and why they want that number to go from 61% all the way up to the 270, so it'd be 100%, and that means once they've got those number of states, the popular vote will run this country regardless of the Electoral College.
David, let me ask you this. I take it from what I'm hearing in your voice, you are not in favor of this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact.
What I'm in favor of is it constitutional? And I haven't made up my mind whether it's constitutional or not.
All right. Well, we're going to try to get out of David New in segment four, whether this is constitutional or not, because, David, I have some questions I want to ask you with respect to this, as well as with respect to what's going on with this supposed Russian hacking of our elections. Friends, we're going to delve into that a little bit deeper in segment four. Please don't miss it. And then we're going to do what we are doing and have been doing every day for weeks now. That is concluding the program in prayer. Friends, we've got a lot to pray about. Don't you miss segment four coming up right after this brief timeout.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Laura Pasquale, travel planner for Dog Tag Tours. In honor of WFYL's 5th anniversary in 2017, we have collaborated with the station on a really unique World War II history tour to Europe. The tour's theme,
So Help Me God,
Faith on the Battlefield. The itinerary will explore both battle sites where liberation from the Nazi occupation was achieved and visit sacred places, churches and cathedrals, small and grand, which served as shelters, hospitals, and rally points for those with boots on the ground. A few of the highlights, Normandy. We'll stop at the landing beaches at Utah and Omaha. We'll visit Breakor Manor, where Pennsylvania's Major Dick Winters had his first test of leadership. We'll stop at a church where medics treated civilians, American GIs, and even German soldiers. In Bastogne, we'll visit the foxholes, where members of Easy Company struggled during the early fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. For more information, check the WFYL website or go to www.dogtagtours.com. Call 717-417-USA1.
Quote by Bill Schuster, our veterans accepted the responsibility to defend America and uphold our values when duty called.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
2 days ago, actor Alan Thicke tragically passed away at the age of 69 of a heart attack. And friends, we send out our condolences to the Thicke family and to those that were associated with him. Everything I have heard, guys, is that Alan Thicke was one of the most personable people as far as an actor in Hollywood. Don't know anything about his spiritual condition per se, but I bring this up because there was a tweet sent out yesterday by actress Lisa Edelstein, and the tweet said this: RIP, rest in peace, Alan Thicke. Everyone's checking out to avoid the Trump apocalypse. Wow. Now, gentlemen, I want you to think about that. She took the death of a very well-known actor, and rather than expressing sympathy to the family or expressing her sympathy over this tragic loss, she tries to turn it into an opportunity to be anti-Trump and make something political out of it. Now, the reason I bring that up, Gary and David, is this. If that had been a Republican, or if that had been an actress in Hollywood who supports a conservative agenda, and they had done something like that, had the shoe been on the other foot, you can imagine the outcry. Now, again, the Twitter universe went against this Miss Edelstein fairly strongly, but as far as anyone publicly on the political landscape coming out and condemning her comments, to my knowledge, no one has done that. Now, I want to tie that together, gentlemen, with what has been going on with this supposed, and I keep using the word supposed because I don't see anything out there that tells me with any certainty whatsoever that Russia is behind the release of these emails that supposedly brought down Hillary Clinton and that has caused all of this attack on Donald Trump and all of this call for this intelligence briefing on the part of the Electoral College members and all of this is just a bunch of junk, in my estimation, an attempt to delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency before he ever even gets to the White House. David, I want to go to you. What is the likelihood? Now, I know you said earlier in the last segment, there is the likelihood that something substantive could come from the Electoral College members being pressed relative to this Russian, supposed Russian involvement. In your estimation, as a constitutional attorney, as an observer of this stuff for literally decades, what do you think is going to be the outcome? Is it a bunch of sound and fury, as Shakespeare said, signifying nothing? Or is there something going to happen to impact the December 19 Electoral College vote?
I seriously doubt that the December 19th vote will be affected. I believe the real target is to attack the Electoral College, to get this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact passed. Is it constitutional? I don't know. I have seen good arguments for it and good arguments against it. The states do have the power to decide how their Electoral College votes are divvied up. Maine and Nebraska use a district system. But there are arguments against it. Now, I don't like it because it is Cal America. It creates Cal America. We've had five cases where the popular vote and the Electoral College were skewed. And in the last two, 2000 and 2016, it was Cal America that took away, that would have, if you take that out, the popular vote would have gone to Trump and Bush. You got to remember, you got a state like Montana with about 1 million people. You've got 9 counties in California that beat the whole state of Montana. L.A. County, San Diego, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, Santa Clara, Alameda, Sacramento, and Contra Costa. And one of the lawyers who argued for this jazz, he's saying a presidential candidate, regardless of where he's at, will always want to maximize his percentage and reduce his losses by individual state. In theory, he's absolutely correct. In practice, he couldn't be more wrong. You've got Montana with 1 million people spread out over 147,000 square miles. In Contra Costa County, in the central part of California, that 1 million vote is spread out over 804 square miles. Where is the guy going to go for his votes?
David, let me ask you this. You said the states determine whether or not they want to be a part of this national popular vote interstate compact. When you say the states decide that, who in the state decides that? Is it the governor exercising his influence? Is it the state legislatures voting on it? How do they become a part of this compact?
The legislature by the states and approval by the governor. I assume it's the normal process. It's a normal state process in your state that decides it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and the state of Pennsylvania and Michigan who voted for Donald Trump. I appreciate your vote. This could be the one and only time where it matters, because if this passes in your two states, that means even though Donald Trump wins the popular vote, should he run again, it won't matter. California will decide the election.
Gary, I'm going to go to you. Cal America, indeed. Gary, this is more than just California. This is more than just a human battle going on here. I think this is a spiritual contest between light, darkness, yes, good, evil, right, and wrong that is going on with this attempt, not only the future attempt of this national popular vote interstate compact, which doesn't affect anything now but would be future, but also this recount effort that Jill Stein was behind that failed, and now all of this that's going on, Gary, with respect to the supposed Russian involvement in our elections. All of this, Gary, is a spiritual battle, especially when you look at what Donald Trump has done thus far. Over 60% of the people that he has chosen for cabinet positions or people to serve in his administration are professing evangelical Christians. He's chosen solid people. He's moving back towards saying Merry Christmas and not being politically correct. He wants to deal with ISIS and make sure that ISIS is no longer a threat to the United States of America. He wants pastors to be able to stand up in their pulpit and not be limited by the famed Johnson Amendment of the tax code. Gary, all of this is an unleashing of biblical Christianity potentially in America with a Donald Trump presidency. So put it in perspective, Gary, so we understand the battle is a spiritual battle.
Well, I think you just did, Dave. And of course, we've got, we want to leave time for prayer and we're running out of time here, but that's what I was going to say. And I think people need to understand that this is an Ephesians chapter 6 situation. And the reason why you've got people against Donald Trump is because, as we said many times, even before he was elected, he took a biblical position on many things, even though he may not have known it. And we find today that God, I think, is trying to bring himself and his word back into the United States of America. And all these liberals who say these crazy things and do these crazy things shows their depravity. And certainly, as preachers, we need to preach. Christians need to pray, because there is a spiritual battle going on.
David, I want to have you lead us in prayer, my friend. One of our listeners texted in, even as we were having this conversation here in this segment, and said, all of this is devilish theater. Devilish theater. Gary, I think that's an appropriate description. David, I think that pretty much says it all. So I want to go to you very, very quickly. We only have about 30 seconds, David, but take us to the throne of grace, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, we thank thee for our blessed Lord and Savior. And Father, at this time, we lift up our leaders in America. We pray that this will indeed become one nation under God. We pray, dear Father, for a spirit of unity amongst the people. Regardless of which way they voted, we pray that Americans will come together and work for the common good. And dear Father, we pray for peace in this world, because we know so many people are suffering great violence. We pray, dear Father, that their suffering can be lessened so they can think and realize that you indeed exist. In Christ's name, we give praise and thanks. Amen.
Amen, my friend. Thank you, David, so much for being on the program. Thank you for your prayer. And friends, we're going to take a very brief 23-hour break, and we'll be back on same time, same station tomorrow with more Stand in the Gap Today. Hope you have a blessed and successful and prosperous God-filled afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.